Totally Hockey at the 2019 IIHF Ice Hockey World Championship. It's day six. Yep, day six, and it's a big hello to Jenny Modin of SVT.
Hello, it's nice to be here.
It's nice to have you, Jenny, and alongside you, Simon Graf of TA Media.
That's correct, yeah.
Excellent. Hello. You've had a busy day writing things, Simon.
Yeah, I had a nice interview with Rikard Grönborg, the Swedish national team coach. He will be our coach next season in Zurich, so it was nice to chat with him, yeah.
And of course, one of the big stories today, the fact that 6 days in, we finally had a team score 10 goals, Jenny.
Yeah, Russia-Italy, that game.
They looked amazing.
Yeah.
All right, well, eight teams were in action on this sixth day of the competition. Let's get a quick check on how they got on. In Group B, Wednesday night, Russia played Dream Hockey against the boys from the land of gnocchi, becoming the first side to double figures.
Trevolato plays it around, but Kuznetsov will be there. Kuznetsov all the way rink-wide, and Ovechkin scores.
While earlier on, the Swiss were, yes, working like clockwork in their 4-1 win over Norway. In Group A, Great Britain were looking for their own miracle on ice against the US. They didn't get it, but they did make it respectable. 6-3 against Kane, the Cat, and company.
And now Davies steps back on the ice. Lead pass for Davies, busting in. Davies in, shoot, score!
While Wednesday night saw Dreisaitl bringing tears to the eyes of the home crowd with a stunning German win, 3-2 late on against the Slovaks.
German coverage, 2-on-1 coming the other way with 30 seconds to go. Dreisaitl in, shoot, scores! Leon Dreisaitl has swung Germany ahead, and it might be victory out of the jaws of defeat. Heartbreak again for Slovakia.
Remember, you can check out highlights from those games and more on the fabulous IIHF app. And there's goals as they go in on our social channels, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. So those were the scores. Game of the day? Was it Russia? Was it Russia against Italy with that extraordinary performance? What did you think, Jenny?
The Russia team is always amazing to look at. It's so many big stars in that team. But it's kind of boring when a hockey game end up 10-0. Italy, they haven't scored at all in this championship. And it has been too many games that so big numbers. So it would have been better if it's not so much like 10-0. It's not
right.
That's fun to look at.
A bit too one-sided for you. I must admit, personally, I enjoyed it because there was some extraordinary hockey being played, admittedly without too much opposition for the Russians. The Latvians took 38 shots to put one past the Italian keeper. Russia took 31 seconds in this game, Simon.
Yeah, it was a tough evening for Bernard, our hero from yesterday. I think he was pulled after 21 minutes, so it wasn't really the game he hoped for. Actually, we thought we could get 10 past the Italians in the first game, Switzerland against Italy, but they stopped at 9, which was a little bit disappointing.
Italy then changed the keeper. So, yeah, Andres Bernard was taken off 18 seconds into the second period when he just conceded a fifth. And then Di Filippo comes on and loads more goals arrive. Doesn't make too much difference. Some teams, I guess, will ease up in these circumstances, but not the Russians.
No, not the Russians. I thought it was nice to see Ovechkin score. It was his first goal now. And as you say, it's amazing as well to see the Russian play. You know, Dadonov, he has done 6 goals now. So many nice players. You know, Malkin, 3-time Stanley Cup winner, and Kuznetsov, the best NHL scorer, point holder. So it's they're so big. You know, Sweden are double world champions, but I think it will be hard to beat the Russians this tournament because they look so big. It's so many big stars, and it was impressive.
By the way, speaking of Ovechkin, one of the plays of the day, and certainly the save of the day, came from the great eight himself. He was on the bench, and a flying puck comes smashing in towards Dadonov's face, and Ovi just snatches it out of the air just before it wedges between the eyes And Dadanov looks a bit shocked, and Ovid just gives him a look like, man up, bro.
You're listening to the Totally Ice Hockey Show with James Richardson.
Certainly, if you compare it with the US performance earlier on today against a similarly unfancied opponent, the level of intensity, the level of concentration of the Russians was on another, well, it was another level.
Well, I think they like to score goals. I mean, so I think it's fun, you know. You're here at the World Championship. You have so much space against the Italians, who are really not skating so well, I have to say. So why not enjoy yourself? I mean, that's what hockey all about, isn't it?
And they certainly were enjoying themselves. The seventh goal on the power play from Dadanov was an absolute beauty. But then the eighth, which was shorthanded, Barabanov plays out of St. Petersburg, and he tries a little toe drag, which completely fakes out the Italian defender. Then he puts it across, and Grigorenko puts it in. And then Barabanov later on did an absolutely extraordinary move up at the other end, which didn't lead to a goal, but yeah, absolutely filthy. As I say, it wasn't quite the same kind of performance from the US. Would you agree with Jenny that Russia right now looked like the number one team to beat?
Well, I'm not so sure. I mean, I think they look great against lesser teams. I'm sure they have a lot of potential from their forwards, but I mean, you never know with the Russians, you know. Once the KO round comes along, it will be interesting to see how they respond to that. And I mean, of course, there are teams that are probably better organized than the Russians, so I'm not so sure yet.
Okay, which teams would you have as better organized? Switzerland, for example?
Well, Switzerland is very well organized. Of course, the Swedes are always very well organized. I like the Czechs this year. Finland, even though they don't have a lot of NHL players, they are very stubborn hockey players, and they're really strong. So I like them too. The US, young, enthusiastic team. There's so many teams. I mean, it's right now it's hard to tell who's going to end up on top.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Switzerland then, who still have the joint meanest defence in the World Championship. You were writing about their 4-1 victory over Norway today. What did you say, Simon?
Well, it wasn't a great game from the Swiss side, but it was difficult for them. It was their fourth game in 5 days. It was 18 hours after they'd played against Austria, so they looked a little flat. But they won 4-1. It was actually, it wasn't really a contest, even though they didn't play so well. So that's a good sign. I mean, I've never seen them play so well in the first few games. And they really, they have 20-2 goals so far against the smaller nations. So that shows that they have taken the next step.
Klaus Zauk joined us yesterday, and he was suggesting that this Swiss side is better than the one that came within a whisker of gold last year. Would you concur?
They're a little different. I mean, what they're missing is those two power forwards from the NHL, and Nino Niederreiter and Timo Meier. But you never know with Nino. He might still join the Swiss side. He's down 3-0 with Carolina in the NHL playoffs. So he's one of those players, well, once he has lost in the NHL playoffs, the second later, he starts to pack his bag and come here. So he's really committed to the team. So they could use him. I mean, what we didn't have was Nico Hischier last year. And he's just an amazing player. I mean, he's so smart. To me, he's a little bit like Roger Federer because he's so fast in his head. You know, like he thinks ahead 2-3 steps. And it doesn't look so spectacular at first, but he does so many good things. I mean, today, how he deked out the goaltender for a 2-0 goal, unbelievable.
As for Norway, they've got Austria and Italy coming up, but it's beginning to look like a battle for them to avoid dropping down to Division 1.
Yeah, you know, Norway, they were quite good a couple of years ago, but this year, they're not so strong. But compared to Switzerland, you know, Switzerland have had the weakest team in the start of the tournament. Switzerland have the big nations left, like Sweden, like Russia, like Czech. And Norway has had opposite, like they have played Czech, Russia, Sweden, the three hardest teams in the beginning. So,
very good point. And next up, Norway will be taking on Austria, an altogether more reasonable opponent, whereas the Swiss will be up against the Swedish. And it's a beefed up Swedish team, we now learn, because you've got a big reinforcement arriving as well.
Yeah, we have a really big star, even you know, the biggest star, Gabriel Landeskog, the captain of Colorado Avalanche. He has made his best season in the NHL this season. And it's such a strong player, and it's such a strong mental. He's a center, and he lifts the team. He makes the people around him much better. So that's the biggest star arriving now. And we also got the best defense man coming in, John Klingberg from Dallas Stars. Both they play tomorrow in the Australia game. Gabriel Landeskog, he will come to Wien tomorrow at 8:45, and
he'll arrive at 8:45
in
the morning.
8:45 in the morning, and he's here in Bratislava around 10 tomorrow, and they play the game like 16. So it's just a couple of hours after he arrives, and he flies from Colorado directly. So he must be messed up in his head, but he will play. Gabriel Landeskog.
Okay, well, that's great news for Austria then, isn't it?
Yeah.
I suggest he take a rest on Saturday against the Swiss because it's too tough on his body, I think, you know.
Absolutely. Well, we have seen, what was it, Philipp Grubauer going off in the Germany game after he started almost immediately after arriving from the States. Hit of the day came in this game between Switzerland and Norway that when Martinsson putting Kurashev into the boards looked really nasty. That, how is Kurashev?
He's okay. He was smiling after the game. I mean, he didn't miss a single shift, so he's okay, but he was a nasty hit because he was to the head and with his elbow, and he even jumped into it, so I didn't like that at all.
Now, Group A, where there was lots of drama as well, particularly in the finale of the evening game between Germany and Slovakia. Before that as well, there was plenty to report in the clash between USA and a Great Britain side that, of course, was coming off two big defeats in their previous games. To tell us what happened on Wednesday, we're joined now by US reporter Julie Robbenheimer. Julie, thanks so much for joining us. It's been another busy day for you there. Germany with that late winner, 3-2 against host nation Slovakia. And earlier in the day, a spirited performance from a Great Britain side reeling from consecutive defeats against USA. Let's start, though, with yet another late heartbreak for Slovakia.
Yeah, it's definitely another, like you said, just a heartbreaker, sending home the Slovak team and its fans just absolutely stunned with a last minute goal to snatch that victory out of their hands. And even more importantly, the points in the standings. They've been playing so well, and for them to not be rewarded in any way in the standings is really disheartening. And even talking to their head coach, Craig Ramsey, tonight, he said, listen, you know, we have to play seven games. We don't just get to play four or three. We don't get to play pause or anything like that. We have to keep going. And so they've got some pretty good games coming up that are definitely winnable. The real question is, what's going to happen with Germany with the rest of their schedule when they've got heavy hitters in Canada, the United States, and Finland? Because while they're still undefeated, they still have to go through all those teams in order to be in a position to advance to the quarterfinals. So it's definitely a heartbreaker for Slovakia. They played so well throughout the entire game. Like you said, we're leading, but then you have that late penalty, a hit to the head, which I think was called boarding, but Moritz Seider goes down, and Germany just kind of was incredibly motivated by that and really just went on the attack, had the extra attacker for Ajun Smith's tying goal with 2 minutes left in regulation. And then, of course, Leon Draisaitl coming through in the clutch with 27 seconds left in regulation to give them that win. An incredible game for Germany, an incredible disappointment for Slovakia.
So a really tough set of fixtures coming up for Germany. That said, the big question mark about them was how they would fare when they faced a real test. Would you say that this constitutes one against Slovakia? Have they now passed a proper exam?
I don't know that they've passed. I mean, okay, they've passed it. They didn't ace it. Let's put it that way. So it's one of those things where they realized that they needed to play better. They started to play better. But at the same time, I feel that they didn't really do it until it really mattered, until it was really on the line. So what they need to do is be able to put that kind of effort that they put in the last 10 minutes of the game into a 60-minute effort. If they do that, then they will ace some tests. But they've got a big challenge up ahead with these three games coming up. And it's one thing to say, hey, we're undefeated, you know, we're 4-0, everything is lovely, but they're still in doubt in terms of whether they're going to make the quarterfinals or not.
Meanwhile, moving up to second place in Group A are the United States of America against the GB team. GB, in this case, standing for Got Better, less than 24 hours on from their massive defeat against Denmark, putting up a very spirited performance against the Americans, Julie.
Spot on right there. They definitely got better. They were, I'm going to say, embarrassed with their performance against Denmark. Just sloppy play, lazy penalties, just an all-around uninspired performance against Denmark in a game that I know they felt was winnable for them. So for them to lose in the way that they did was incredibly disappointing. They bounced back against the United States. I mean, for a team that had one goal in the entire tournament coming into the game, to score three against the Americans was huge. Whether they win or lose the game, just being able to score those goals was huge. So a definite confidence booster for GB, and then also an opportunity for the United States, because they were not prepared for the effort that Great Britain brought to the table, and they needed to step up. And I don't want to say that they took an opponent lightly, because I don't believe that USA Hockey does that, but they were surprised at how hard they came after them in that first period. So it's one of those things where, you know, it was a great opportunity, a great learning experience for GB, but definitely a solid win for the United States. And again, as head coach Jeff Blashill said after the game, it's just one more step. We learned something about ourselves today that we can take forward into the rest of the tournament to help solidify a spot in the quarterfinals and put themselves in a good position in terms of the medal round.
Day 7. Group A gets underway with a Francophone Classique as Canada take on France. In the evening, it's Finland against the fired-up Denmark. In Group B, Sweden face the still pointless Austrians, while the Czech Republic take on Latvia in potentially another key battle for a quarterfinal place. Very good. Jenny, Sweden looking good. You mentioned Gabriel Landeskog. I wonder to pronounce that correctly.
Yeah.
How far am I off?
You're quite close.
All right, close enough. So he's on the way.
Yeah.
You've already got the top scorer in the competition this year. And indeed, last time he was here in 2017, William Nylander.
William Nylander, yeah. He made 5 points to Norway.
Against Norway,
the other day.
Well, we went down to training. We saw you down there today to see if we could get him to say a few words about that performance. And he was very pleasant, but gave us the usual kind of media answers. Funnily enough, the person who spoke more interestingly was King Henrik himself, Lundqvist, who had a very interesting angle on his young teammate. Let's just have a listen to that.
You know, Nylander, I played with his dad my first year in New York 14 years ago, and he was just a little kid. We played street hockey together on off days, and now we're on the same team. Already 2 years ago, we're on the same team. But I think what's special about this team, there's so many leaders here, players that play big roles in their club teams. So I don't think anybody feels like they have to step up as a leader. We have a bunch of leaders to help out and make sure we're trying to do the right things here.
It's quite a blend, that Sweden, from the experience of Lundqvist to the younger players coming in. Is there anything that the team lacks? Is there anything you're missing compared to Canada or USA or
Russia? I think our defense is really strong, and the goalies, but the forwards, they're good, but they might be not as good as the Russians, or, you know, William Nylander. You've seen him at the training today. He's really small, and he didn't have that best season in Toronto Maple Leafs, and now he's the best scorer here, or the point. But the forwards could be better. You know, Jon Klingberg, I talked to him today after the training, and he's one of the best defensemen in the NHL, in Dallas Stars. And he said that himself, that, okay, our forwards they're really good. We have a solid team, but, you know, we have Elias Pettersson. He's brilliant, but he's like that player who will carry all this team. And is he so strong? Is he so old so he can do it? Or is it a big pressure on right. Elias Pettersson.
That he's not old enough, he's not strong enough to do it, you feel?
I don't know. He might be. You know, he's a brilliant hockey player. That season he has had in Vancouver Canucks, he might be picked as the Rookie of the Year in NHL. You know, he can do amazing things with the puck. But he was lifted from the first line to the second line the first two games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if he will bloom out and have a brilliant tournament, and yeah, we have so many good players. So right. It's like you say that Sweden is one of the best teams in the tournament, of course.
That said, you mentioned the teams that people have been facing. And it is true that while you have beaten Norway 9-1 and Italy 8-0,
yeah.
When you came up against another of the big sides, the Czech Republic, things went badly wrong. A 5-2 defeat. Was that just because it was the opening game? Or do you think that exposed the limitations of this Swedish side?
I think it might have been. It was the opening game, the nerves. You know, Rickard Granbol said that the players played with too much heart and they have to play with their heads. But we lost to the Czech Republic just before the tournament as well. So, but before the loss in to the Czech, we had 17 straight wins in the World Champs. So, of course, it was a plump.
But it can happen.
Yeah, it can happen.
Yeah,
now we have Russia in the last game in the group, so it will be really interesting if Sweden will play here in Bratislava or if they have to move to Košice.
One other question about Landeskog. What does he add to the team? Is there something different that he brings to the lineup that you already have?
He's such a big center, you know, he's so strong. Elias Pettersson is a center as well, but he's so tiny. You know, it's muscles in Gabriel Landeskog. He has a really big self-confidence. He come from one of his best season, the best season he ever had. You know, he got to see the captain when he was just 19 years old in Colorado Avalanche. Now he's 26. He might be on the top of his career right now, right this year.
Could be a key arrival. All right. What's your take on Sweden, Simon?
I think this is their... Still very, very, very strong, even their attack. I mean, I'm not sure if you would trade Swedish forwards against the Swiss forwards, would you?
No, not a chance. You know, we have 21 NHL players. That's a record in Swedish hockey history. We have never had so many NHL players.
21 NHL 21, players?
Yeah.
Extraordinary.
So
okay.
I think they'll be perfectly fine. I mean, they've won the last two gold, and I think they know what it takes to win. They have a coach who knows what it takes, and now they get good additions, so I think they'll be perfectly fine.
Austria coming up next in Group B. That same day on Thursday, the Czech Republic taking on Latvia. Czech Republic currently fourth in the group, Latvia fifth. Only goal difference between them. Effectively, it's that 3-0 in the Italy game, the extraordinary performance from Bernard that's costing Latvia a place right now in the top four positions. It's a big game, this. Who do you fancy out of these two teams, Simon?
Well, I think the Czechs have to be the favourites, but I like the Latvians. They're really gritty and they're really aggressive and determined. Of course, I know their coach very well, Bob Hartley. He's coached in Zurich for a year and he won the championship. And he's someone who can really turn up the heat, and I think they will be hot.
In Košice, Finland will be taking on Denmark. Denmark, who are 2 points currently behind Finland in the group, were in action on Tuesday with their biggest ever victory in the World Championship, 9-0 against Great Britain. The Finns, by contrast, have had 2 days off to try and get over that overtime defeat to the USA. We asked our Finnish friend Tommy Wilberg how they and the fans have been feeling there in Košice.
They are quite something, the Finnish fans. They have been partying pretty hard, as they do. Everybody's pretty happy. Everybody's suffering from Kaapo-Kakko fever, and it's been good.
How many Finnish fans are there?
I've heard that there would be 7,000.
Wow.
Or up to 7,000. I don't know if they are all here right now.
Last time we spoke, you were counting down to the USA game, which turned out to be your first defeat.
It was the worst possible start to the game, with the first American shot going in, and the young goalie, Veini Vehvelän, he has had a great season, but a really tough start in his championship debut. But he just rallied, as did the rest of the team, and they played a good game, all in all.
It was disappointing as well, I think, from a Finnish perspective, the way that the overtime goal came about. Seemed to be a lot of calls for a penalty, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. It was quite controversial. Just seconds before Dylan Larkin scored the game-winning goal, Clayton Keller sweeped the leg of Juhani Tyrväinen, who is fine, by the way. There's no injuries, but that was quite a dirty trick. And Finnish coach Jukka Jalonen, he went crazy. He was still really, really angry about the apparent missed call.
Well, as it stands, Finland lies second in the group with the toughest games out the way. How do you feel about this clash with Denmark?
It's really, really tight. Denmark is actually one of my favorite teams. There are some familiar players from the KHL club, Jokerit, the Finnish club. And they're a really good team. I would not be surprised if they even managed to steal a point or two or even three from Finland.
That could make things interesting, though. As I say, with the USA just outside the top four positions, a defeat could have really serious consequences for Finland.
It can. It absolutely can. It would be such a dramatic loss at this point after playing so well against the three tough teams that everybody's expecting to go to the quarterfinals. And now with four easier games, if you can say so, left to start that off with a loss against Denmark. That could be devastating.
Obligatory question about Kaapo Kakko fever. He didn't score against the USA, but he did look really impressive in overtime, particularly as one fan described it, wearing Ryan Suter like a jacket.
Yeah, exactly. That's well said. It's amazing how he protects the puck. He uses his body. Even though he's still young, he's a big player. When he has the puck, it's almost impossible to get it away from him. Everybody knows what this kid can do. So it's the Danes, they will probably talk about him a lot before the game, and they will be ready.
Tommy Vilberg. So, how do you deal with Kaapo Kakko, Simon, based on what you've seen?
Well, I'm amazed how strong he is. I mean, he's 18 years old and he plays against men, but I have a feeling he's stronger than everyone else. It's almost impossible to stretch him off the puck, so I really like him. I mean, it's tough to say. I think probably try to make him skate to the corner or something, try to close the door so he can't go to the net. But I'm really impressed by him. As an 18-year-old, I've never seen physically such a strong 18-year-old.
Six really strong teams in that group, USA, Finland, Slovakia, Canada, Germany and Denmark. They can't all get into the top four. Who do you think is going to miss out, Jenny?
I think Denmark will miss out. What do you
possibly
think?
The result today making it difficult for Slovakia?
Yeah, and that's surprising, you know, at a home arena, like if they miss out the quarterfinal. And they were Olympic gold champions from 2010 in Vancouver.
And especially the start they made in this championship. There's a long way to go still, but things taking a difficult turn for them. The other game in Group A, meanwhile, sees Canada take on France. Tough to pick a winner from that one, Simon?
Well, it's a very tough choice, but maybe I'll go with Canada.
All right. Have Canada then. Right, well, that brings us to the end of our review of Wednesday's action. Do make sure you join us at the end of day 7 when we'll be looking back on all the good stuff from that. For now, it's many, many thanks to Jenny and Simon for being with us and you, listener. If you've enjoyed this show, don't forget to rate and review it and share and subscribe too. Why not? And do check out the ever excellent IIHF app, which features all the stats and roster news and, of course, highlights that you could possibly want. Very good. We'll be back at the end of Thursday's action. Speak to you then.
The Totally Ice Hockey Show is a Muddy Knees Media production in association with Infront.